The Bible says a great resurrection of our bodies is soon to come if you're a believer. Paul the Apostle was given a revelation concerning this approaching resurrection. Listen to what he said. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first.
Welcome to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire, founder and senior pastor of the exciting Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. Pastor Jeff brings you powerful biblical messages, along with practical applications that can help you grow in your personal walk with Jesus Christ. So stay tuned and be challenged, be encouraged, and be transformed by the power of the Word of God. Today on Life Talk, we begin a brand new message entitled Resurrection and Judgment. This is the final chapter on the series called Things Every Christian Should Know. To tell us more about the message, here's Pastor Jeff.
When we read about the preaching of the early apostles in the book of Acts, we find that a central theme of every message they preached was that of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And they also continually reminded their listeners that they too would one day be resurrected. Join me today for the concluding message in our series, Things Every Christian Should Know, as we explore what Hebrews 6 calls a foundation stone of the Christian faith, the doctrine of resurrection and coming judgment. Let's get right to the message. When you look at the Bible, you read your Bible, you'll see that resurrection, this whole thing of somebody being raised from the dead. Now stop and think about what we're talking about. Raised from the dead. Somebody's dead, really dead. Casket dead. And they are raised back to life. Resurrection from the dead. That is the central theme of Christianity all through the New Testament. That's it. That's the core. That's the center. Without resurrection, there is no Christianity. Because if Jesus hadn't risen from the dead, then he would never have been validated. His teachings all would have gone by the wayside. Everything he said, everything he stood for would have died with him. When he rose from the dead, however, it validated everything about Jesus. It solidified who he was. It confirmed who he had always said that he was. And so here you have at the central core of Christianity, resurrection. Jesus has told his disciples several times in the Gospels, they're going to kill me one day, but on the third day, I'm going to rise again from the dead. Now, they didn't get it. They would look at him and hear him say that, and they didn't get what he was saying. They didn't really fully understand it until Pentecost. But Jesus said, I'm going to be raised from the dead. I'm going to be a resurrected man. If you read the message of the disciples when they preached, the constant drumbeat of their preaching, the mantra of the disciples was to preach on the resurrection from the dead. That's what got them whipped. That's what got them in trouble with the authorities. They didn't just preach that Jesus had lived and taught good things, but they preached that you killed him, but God raised him from the dead. He's resurrected. It says in Acts 4:33, and with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. You know, you look at history, and man has always wondered about life after death. Is there anything past here? When I die, when my heart stops beating and I breathe my last, is that it? Do I just go back to the ground? And that's it? There's no consciousness. There's nothing to look forward to. There's no hope. I just die and that's it. I'm done. Curtain closed. The end. My life is done. There's nothing more. Is that it? Or could it be that there is life after death? What's out there? What's beyond there? And boy, is it hotly debated today. One of the best-selling books in the nation, and has been for months, it's called Heaven is for Real, about a little boy who died and says that he saw heaven. It has flown off the shelves. You can't keep it on the shelves. And now it's a major motion picture. Heaven is for real. Everybody wants to know. I did a little Google search just on books about life after death, and 14 bestsellers on life after death popped onto the page just in a simple Google search. People wanting to know, is there life after here? Is there an eternity? Am I really an eternal person? Or am I just going to die? Which every atheist believes. When I die, that's it. Nothing more. So eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. But for the believer who knows Jesus Christ, this is not an issue, because our Savior, our Messiah, our Redeemer told us in no uncertain terms that there is a life after death. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid, for in my Father's house there are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would tell you the truth. But it is so. And I'm going to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also. And I'm going to come again and receive you to myself. I'm going to take you to the place that I have built for you, that where I am, you can be with me forevermore." Now that's the promise in John 14, 1 and 2. That's it. So Jesus clearly said, there is another world, there's another dimension, there's something beyond the veil. There is a real spirit world where life goes on and on without end. There is an eternity. So for those of us who know the Lord, then we're not wondering about life after death. So let me talk to you about some of the things the Bible tells us about the reality of resurrection, because we're all resurrected and going to be resurrected from the dead. You do know that. What a day that's going to be. First of all, what I want you to understand today as a believer in Christ is that resurrection life actually begins the moment you get saved. See, we tend to say, well, when I die, then I'm going to go into eternal life. No, here's the deal. You're already in eternal life. If you're a child of God, you've already been born again. You already have eternal life. It's not something that's coming. It's something that is already here. You are born again. Your spirit has been made alive. I want you to listen to what the Bible says in Colossians 2, verse 13. "And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses." Now watch this. The Bible says that before we knew him, we were dead. We were walking around, we talked, we raised kids, we changed flat tires, we had a job, we earned up a 401k, we had a life, but the Bible says we're like a lamp. Just picture a lamp here, and it's got a bulb in it, it's got a shade, and it's got a cord that is laying on the floor right next to a socket, but it's not plugged in. It has the potential to be plugged in, and it has the potential to light up, to come alive, and do what it was created to do. But until you take that cord and plug it in, it's dead. But when you plug it in, boom, it comes alive. It lights up. And here's what the Bible is telling us. Before we were saved, we were like this lamp, born to shine, born to experience the power of God, but we were unplugged. And when we said, "Jesus, come into my heart and forgive me of my sins," the Holy Spirit came into us and we got plugged in and came alive. Came alive. "You who were dead in your trespasses, he has made alive together with him." So here's the deal. Every believer in Jesus Christ is literally a resurrected man or woman. Now, I want you to do something. I'm going to count to three, and I want you to say, "I am a resurrected man," if you're a man. "I'm a resurrected woman," if you're a woman. I want you to say it, because I want you to make this confession, because you are literally somebody who has been raised from the dead. So you get to preach a little bit today. Are you ready? One, two, three. "I am a resurrected man." Amen. That felt so good. We got to try that one more time. Because I want you to know that when you wake up in the morning, you once were dead, but now you're alive. You once were blind, but now you see. You once were lost, but now you're found. You're a resurrected man or a resurrected woman. So let's say it together. One, two, three. "I am a resurrected man." Amen. Now, the second truth about resurrection is this. At the moment of death, the Christian soul goes immediately into the presence of the Lord. And this has everything to do with the promise of resurrection. At the minute a Christian dies, there is no soul sleep. There's no purgatory. You don't just kind of go to sleep and you're dead asleep until Christ comes again and then you're made alive again. No, as soon as the believer's heart stops and they breathe their last, they immediately go into the presence of the Lord. Absent from the body, present instantly, immediately with the Lord. Stephen understood this. When Stephen was being stoned and he was about to be the first martyr of the Christian church, the Bible says that Stephen prayed a prayer. Watch this, Acts 7:59. They stoned Stephen as he was calling on God. And what was his prayer? Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. What did he know? He knew that as soon as he died, his spirit was going into the presence of the Lord. What did Jesus say on the cross? Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. He knew. What did he say to the thief on the cross? He said, today you will be with me in paradise. The minute that a Christian dies, Paul said, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Paul said, man, I love you, church folks. I love you, and I'll stay here with you, but my preference would be to go straight into his presence. I can't wait to be in the presence of the one who died for me. I can't wait to be in the presence of the Lord. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. What a great promise. This is why when Christians die, we who belong to Christ, listen, we grieve in a qualitatively different way from unbelievers. We don't grieve as those who have no hope. Now, my many, many years of pastoring, I want to tell you, I have presided over many funerals, most, thank God, of Christians. Because there is a huge difference between the funeral of a Christian and the funeral of somebody that didn't know God. The ones who don't know God, there's no hope. When they lose that loved one, to them, there's either confusion about whether or not there's an afterlife, or there is this sense of this is it, we're never going to see them again, it's all over. There is this ripping, this tearing, there is this sorrow that has no hope. And Paul said, for the believer, it's not the same. But mixed with our sorrow is the joyous hope of being reunited in heaven with those who have died in Jesus. Say, Jeff, you really believe that? Oh, I absolutely do, because I know that this is the word of the living God, and my Savior told me as much, and so does the rest of the Bible. Listen to this promise, 1 Thessalonians 4. Paul writes, and now, dear brothers, I want you to know what happens to a Christian when he dies, so that when it happens, you will not be full of sorrow as those who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and then came back to life again, we can also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him all the Christians who have died. The Bible says there's going to be a reunion, and we're going to see loved ones again. Now, some of you are going, oh, no, really? I was kind of hoping that it would end at death. Everybody will be redeemed. Everybody will have a glorified body. There will be no more flesh to hold grudges, to be bitter, to have unforgiveness. None of that. We will be glorified. We will have a glorified body just like Jesus who ate fish and then walked through a door that was closed. Now, last night when I preached this, I was attacked with questions afterwards. I said, oh man, I'm going to have to make this more clear today. And so let me show you how this happens. Because people say, well, wait a minute. If when I die, my spirit immediately goes in the presence of the Lord, then what is this about my body that's down here in a grave? How can they be in two different places? I don't understand resurrection. Jesus is our pattern. Now, I want you to remember Jesus is on the cross. Here he is hanging on the cross. And when he's about to die, what did he say? He said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. He said to the thief on the cross next to him, who believed on him, he said, verily I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. Now I checked the Greek, and today means today. Okay? He said, today you will be with me in paradise. Well, wait a minute. If the thief is going to be with Jesus that very day in paradise, we know that Jesus died that day. His body was taken down, and his body was laid in a tomb. So how can his body be in one place and his spirit in another? Ah, let me show you. Here is an old grungy work glove, and I'm paying a price to do this illustration today because this was handed to me by our yard people. Here we go. Now watch this. My hand represents my soul. Okay? My soul. The glove represents my body. As long as the soul is in the body, it animates the body. The only way you can be here today is your soul is still in your body. And so, because my soul is in my body, it animates the body, so I am what we say alive. Hallelujah. Okay? So, as long as the soul is in the body, it's animated, it's alive, it walks, it talks, it lives, it breathes, the heart beats. But as soon as the body dies, here's what happens. The soul leaves the body and goes immediately into the presence of the Lord. The body is limp now because there's no soul in it. It's not animated anymore, and it goes into the ground. Jesus' spirit immediately went into the presence of the Lord. Into your hands I commit my spirit, Father. His body went into the tomb and lay there 3 days and nights. On the third day, the Holy Spirit entered that tomb. The same spirit that lives in you. The same spirit that lives in you went into that tomb. And that spirit has resurrection power. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of resurrection, and it lives in you. And that spirit touched the body of the Lord Jesus. At that moment, his spirit that had gone in the presence of the Father, re-entered his body. He rose from the dead, a resurrected man. So it went back in. And Jesus got up from the dead, walked out of the tomb, said, "Good morning, world, I'm risen again." Okay? The same thing will happen to you. The Bible says a great resurrection of our bodies is soon to come if you're a believer. Paul the Apostle was given a revelation concerning this approaching resurrection. Listen to what he said. "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ," that's talking about the dead bodies in Christ, "will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together," look at these next two words, "with them." Who's the them? It's your grandma, your granddad, your parents, your loved ones, whoever it was, your friends who have died in the Lord. They will be resurrected out of the tomb. And their spirits will re-enter their bodies, and they will be resurrected people with glorified bodies that curves or Elaine Powers cannot give you. Resurrected bodies that will be just like the body of Jesus, who could eat fish and walk through closed doors, who could think and he would be in a certain location just by thinking it. He was no longer limited by natural law. We will have glorified bodies, and we will meet those in the clouds. It says, "Those who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." And what I'm telling you today is the doctrine of resurrection says the day is coming when every single soul that has put their faith in Christ is going to be resurrected from the dead. Can you imagine at that moment? Graveyards all over the world are going to be emptied of their occupants. And at that very moment, we're going to undergo some incredible changes in our bodies. 1 Corinthians 15 says we're going to be changed from corruptible to incorruptible, mortal to immortal, dishonor to honor, dead to alive, and natural to supernatural. That's the doctrine of resurrection. Now, when you talk about resurrection, the whole understanding of resurrection leads very naturally right into the warning of a coming judgment. Now, I'm only preaching the word to you today. I'm sharing with you the scriptures. It's that simple. And I got to tell you, folks, there is a judgment coming. It's the last foundation stone. If we don't understand the doctrine of judgment, then we need to get that planted in our soul because there is a judgment coming. Now, there have been three judgments I'm going to quickly discuss. The first one is one that's already happened in the past. The second one is a present judgment. The third one is a future judgment. Let me talk about the past judgment. The past judgment has already happened at the cross. At the cross, there was a judgment of God. Jesus said in John 5:24, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life," and look at this, "and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life." Now there Jesus is promising that those who put their faith in him will not come into judgment. Why won't we come into judgment? Because at the cross, sin has already been judged. Past tense. Jesus took our blame. Jesus took the rap, as it were, for us. What an incredible thing. The Bible says, God made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So there was a divine exchange at the cross. Here's the exchange, and we came out the better for it. God took our sins. Isaiah 53 says he laid on him the iniquity of us all. So he took our sin, our transgression, our shortcomings, and somehow, in a way that only God could do, God took it and laid it on Jesus, the sacrificed lamb, and he was judged for our sin. And then he took Jesus' righteousness and placed it on us and made us the righteousness of God in him. Amen. And two things happened on that cross. Satan was judged at the cross. Jesus told his disciples in John 12:31, "The time of judgment for the world has come, and the time when Satan, the prince of this world, shall be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself." Now there Jesus is giving us the context. He's saying at the crucifixion, when I am lifted up, the prince of this world will be judged. And Satan was judged at the cross. And at the cross, he lost his house keys. He lost the key to death, the key to hell, and the key to the grave. So he doesn't even have the keys to his own house anymore. He lost them. Second thing that happened at the cross, I've already mentioned, the cross or the sins of the believer were judged and put away. I love this verse, Colossians 2:14. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. Everything that Satan had against you and me, Jesus tore up the record. And we're free. There's no more condemnation to those that are in Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? Now that's the past judgment at the cross. Present judgment is this simple. It's very simple. It is when we must judge our own sin so we don't come into the chastening of the Lord. It says in 1 Corinthians 11, "For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord that we may not be condemned with the world." Now let me just put it real simply. Keep short accounts with God. Because if we judge ourselves, you know, you're walking along, cooking along, and you do something, say something, think something, and the Holy Ghost says, "Ugh, you just sinned." Now we can either ignore that or immediately go into the presence of the Lord and say, "Lord, forgive me, I just sinned, and I'm judging myself. I am judging that what I did was sin. Please forgive me." And we 1 John 1:9 it. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And when we do that, we have just judged ourselves. So it's a present, ongoing accountability to God.
We hope you were blessed by Pastor Jeff's message. We're so glad to have you with us today. Here at Life Talk, we want to stay connected with you and help equip and encourage you in your walk with the Lord. If you would like to receive e-devotionals and ministry updates from Pastor Jeff, visit our website at lifetalkradio.us. That's lifetalkradio.us. From there, you can sign up to receive this exclusive Life Talk listener email. When you sign in for the first time, we'll send you a free gift as a thank you for being a devoted LifeTalk listener. So go to lifetalk.us and sign up for a free e-devotional today. To get a copy of today's message or this entire sermon series, give us a call toll-free at 877-884-3111. That's 877-884-3111. Our friendly staff will be standing by to assist you and even offer you a special discounted price so you can get your own copy of your favorite message or the entire sermon series from Pastor Jeff. This is our way of thanking you for your unwavering support for Life Talk. Once again, the number is 877-884-3111 or visit our website at lifetalkradio.us for more information. You've been listening to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Join us again next time for part two of this message entitled Resurrection and Judgment in this exciting series called Things Every Christian Should Know. Thank you for listening today. We look forward to being with you again here on Life Talk Radio. Until then, God bless.